Yeah, I'm
okay, we're recording.
All right, so you were telling me that they have a chaplain festival?
Yeah, it was just a cyber. Anyway, so you met Nelson Rockefeller, you saw his big toes. So somewhere in that period, moved to Fremont. And was the first house there, the one on Antone Road?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the house I remember.
Okay.
So well, you...
We moved to Cruz after a couple of years.
We moved to Cruz in 1968 or nine,
really?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think I was I think I was 8 years old.
Okay, so I went to work for the North newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and I'll think of George's last name. First as just a cub reporter,
mm-hmm.
covering the cop shop and anything that they could come up with. And after about a year, George decided it was time to expand into Newark. Now we'd...
You need to take a pause?
We'd had a reporter in Newark, but no office.
Okay.
No physical presence. So he rented me an office, gave me a secretary, a typewriter for her, a telephone, and one of these notepads, and I'll go out and fill the front page with Newark news.
So you were the Newark correspondent.
I was.
Here's why this is funny for me. People who don't know Fremont. So Fremont formed in the mid-50s, 54, 55, out of five townships. But one of the townships didn't want to become part of Fremont. That would be Newark. Newark was very...
Well, it was the sixth one then.
Right. So it was the sixth one that decided not to join the township. And Newark is completely surrounded by Fremont on all sides. It's the hole in the donut. So he sent you into the hostile territory of Newark as a correspondent.
Well, it was more than hostile because the reporter who preceded me, who was gone by the time I got there, never met him. But I heard from people that he was mean, crusty, distrustful, hard to get along with,
mm-hmm.
And just generally an obnoxious person.
Mm.
So I'm following him.
So this is, we're talking 1964.
Yeah,
roughly.
Somewhere.
So you're 30 years old, and you are now a working newspaper man with your own office.
But I got no cooperation from city officials. None.
So you
would go by City Hall, and
mm-hmm.
everybody I wanted to see wasn't there, or they were in meetings, going to be in meetings all day long. In other words, the doors just slammed in my face.
But there was no competing newspaper in Newark.
No.
You were
well, there was. There was that other Hayward paper.
Oh, okay. Well, there was another Hayward paper, but there wasn't
no
a
other
Newark
competing
paper.
Newspaper
right.
in Newark. No.
Right.
But I just couldn't get in to see anybody. So the one thing that I could do, and they couldn't stop me, was go to the police department and read the overnights.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could find an officer who was involved in it, interview him. I filled the paper with police news.
So anybody who read the News Register knew about Newark was the crime that was happening there.
Well, you had to read the Newark edition.
Right.
Because the front page didn't appear in the Fremont edition. The Fremont edition had a different front page.
Yeah, the newspapers were different back then.
Mm-hmm. So I just filled it. And after about 2 weeks, the chief of police called me in. And he said, Joe, you've got to stop this crime wave. And I said, what crime wave? He says, well, your paper is filled with nothing but crimes. And then I explained to him, oh. Let me make a few phone calls, which I did,
mm-hmm.
and then magically the doors opened.
Mm-hmm.
So now I could meet with the mayor and the city manager and all the park and recreation and the school, because
mm-hmm.
they had shut the door on me too. So I guess the chief just called everybody and said, no, this guy is different from whatever the other guy's name is.
Crusty old guy, yeah.
Yeah. So then I was able to print news about city events, school events, Park and Recreation. And by this time, I was also finding friends in the Homeowners Association. And I would cover them as well.
So neighborhoods, what was going on in various neighborhoods.
So a mixed bag of stories, no more crime wave.
Mm-hmm. Occasional crime story?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
If it was worthy.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you know, it's strictly an editorial judgment.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I did that for about a year and a half. And then Walt Hecox, who was...
I remember the name.
The editor brought me back to Fremont and mm-hmm. sent somebody else over. And I didn't have to start as on the bottom anymore because I'd
right.
already had a couple of years' experience.
Right.
So he... I'm still a reporter, mm-hmm. general reporter, but he also made me political editor.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my assignment was if it was, according to Walt, if it's a politician and it breathes and it comes through Fremont, you go interview it.
All right.
So because of that, I wound up one time spending 20 minutes alone in a bedroom with Ronald Reagan.
I remember that story. I think that comes a little later. Wasn't that... I guess no, that's 64.
Yeah.
That's right, 64, because he was also... He was the... I don't know my history as well as I should. He was the opening speaker, the person who opens the convention for Goldwater in 64.
Okay.
And then he was running for, then he ran for governor after that. Okay.
Yeah, so it was probably 66.
66, right.
So the story, do you remember Leon Mazzetti?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Leon was having a party for Reagan in his home
mm-hmm.
up in the hills. Well, I knew Leon very well, and I said, may I come by to interview Mr. Reagan? Oh, sure, Joe, you come on by. Well, I remember the editor saying, why do you want to waste your time on that washed-up ham actor?
Right.
Because you told me that if it's politician and breathes, comes mm-hmm. to town, go interview it. Grumble, 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 all right, go. And he said there'll be nobody there. Everybody who was anybody in Fremont was there.
Mm.
The head of the bank, the mayor, councilman, police chief. I mean, you go down the litany of the important people in the community, they were all there.
And so now, these are Republicans, but by 66, you had left the Republican Party. That was a question.
Yeah, yes.
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 Yeah, but as a reporter, I think you didn't, either you hadn't registered with another party or you had, okay.
Oh, yes, publicly and openly.
Okay.
And they put it on page one.
Right.
So you can imagine... That's a page one story when a reporter or just an ordinary citizen changes party. That's extraordinary.
Okay, we'll get to that. But let's talk about meeting Ronnie R.
I get up there. There's no place to park. Oh, my God. Every space is taken up and down the street. I had to park about a quarter of a mile away and walk back. And I get to the house, and it's just crammed with all these people. I said everybody who was anybody in Fremont was there.
Mm-hmm.
Top businessmen like Leon, but, you know, in all sorts of businesses. I said the politicians, and the chief of police, just everybody. And I looked around and I said, Walt is wrong. This guy's got some support.
Yeah.
So I found him. Introduced myself, and I said, I'd like to interview you. And he said, well, yeah, where? Well, I obviously couldn't. You're talking about 80 people
mm-hmm.
in a house. There's no way. The ambient noise was just
mm-hmm.
impossible. So I found Leon. I said, Leon, I'd like to interview Mr. Reagan. He'd like to be interviewed. Have you got some place that's nice and quiet? Sure. And he led us to his bedroom,
mm-hmm.
master bedroom. Reagan sat on the bed, I sat on a chair, turned on my tape recorder, and for 20 minutes interviewed him. And Leon had said, we'll give you about 20 minutes. So sure enough, 20 minutes, Leon stuck his nose around the door. Ron, there are people who want to meet you, and they want to give you money. And Reagan looked at him, and really the last couple of minutes had just been chatter, idle
sure,
chatter.
Sure.
So he looked at me and he said, are you okay, Joe? And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Reagan. So we shook hands and he went off to meet all his new friends with deep pockets.
Right.
And I went home and did my story for the next day's paper. But I'll never forget sitting in a bedroom with Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought only Nancy and Jane.
Jane Wyman.
Jane Wyman, Nancy and Jane. Could probably make the same claim that they're alone in a bedroom with Ronnie.
Well, let's hope that's true. So I had to ask, the tape recorder, you said you had a tape recorder with
yes.
you. Was that a paper-issued recorder? Because I remember we had a reel-to-reel tape recorder at home.
This belonged to the newspaper.
Okay.
Little handheld one, about the size of that pillbox there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they made those.
Yeah,
then.
Well, that wasn't that small then. Can yeah. think about it. Now, mm-hmm. they're tiny.
Yes, they are.
So, anyway, then in that same position, I met and interviewed Walter Mondale.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he couldn't possibly win because he didn't have the fire in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you tell if a politician is really serious about going after the job. If he's got fire in the belly, he's serious. If he doesn't, he's not going to win.
Yeah.
He's just not. These are all things I learned along the way. Goldwater,
mm-hmm.
for a brief interview. Oh, Lord. Bobby Kennedy the week before he was murdered.
Oh, wow. So you were still on the paper in 68.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. There were a lot of them.
Sure. A lot of people.
A lot of politicians I interview.
Yeah.
I'll try to think of the names as we go.
Well, so tell us about when you became Front Page News that you alluded to earlier, because when you switched parties. Okay. So this was on the front page of your paper?
This was had to do with the election that Alan Cranston was elected U.S. Senator.
Mm-hmm.
And fellow by the name of Tom Kuchel.
I'm thinking we're about 68 now.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. Tom Kuchel was the senator, and Rafferty was the state superintendent of schools. And he challenged Tom in the primary. Well, up in the Bay Area, it was just a routine campaign, nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, both candidates had billboards up and the usual materials went out. There was nothing extraordinary up in the Bay Area. But I found out later that in Southern California, the knives were out for Kuchel.
Mm.
And the Murchers, among others, accused him of all sorts of terrible things. Homosexuality. I mean, just in those days, that was the kiss of death.
Sure.
And all sorts of really foul things. And he couldn't overcome that because of the vote-heavy Los Angeles. So Rafferty won, and Kuchel was out. I mean, to serve out his term, but he was out. So I was a member of the Republican State Central Committee at this time. And 11 of us, including me, finally found out what had happened down south. And we were furious. We were incensed that this could happen in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Party of moderation.
Mm.
Of sense of, oh. So we were angry. And we headed south for the October convention before the November election. And we met down there. We'd met up north and then met down there and decided that we were going to introduce a resolution on the floor of the convention calling on Rafferty to apologize to Kuechel for the things that we didn't accuse Rafferty of being responsible, but for the things that were done in his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very careful. Well, there was no way the guys who were running the convention would allow us on the floor. So how they handled it was very neat. They took care of all the other business first. They kept saying, we'll get to you, we'll get to you. They took care of all the other business first, and finally they finished, and I moved forward. Mr. Chairman, I'd like the floor, please. And he said, this meeting is adjourned. And the whole group of them walked off and left me standing there. And people started leaving, because word had gotten out what we were going to do.
Right.
Well, we had anticipated that. So we had called a press conference in another room. And they picked me as a spokesman. And I told him. I thought when I went in there might be a handful of reporters, maybe from a couple of the newspapers, maybe a radio guy. Every paper in Southern California, every TV station, not every radio station, because there were a lot of them that didn't care about politics.
Mm.
But for those that did, the news stations and others, they were all there. And I am facing these Klieg lights and some difficult questions from hardened reporters. It wasn't the most pleasant experience in the world, but I think I handled myself okay. I remember Edith seeing me the next day and saying, I watched you on television last night. And I said, what did you think? Oh, you were wonderful. But you know, I couldn't really go with Edith's. I don't think I was that wonderful, because these questions were tough.
Well, what sort of questions?
Like motives. What are you guys up to? What are you going to do next? You know, why are you trying to destroy the Republican candidate? Well, I told him. I didn't use the word son of a bitch, but basically I implied that that's what Rafferty was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we went away disgusted, disappointed, but we went away. Reconvened back up in Northern California, and we decided, well, we can't sabotage Rafferty, but we can help Cranston. So we all signed a document that allowed Cranston to use our names and identify who we were.
Just to be clear for the records, Cranston was the Democratic candidate for senator.
U.S. senator.
And you were prominent Republicans.
We were all members of the State Central Committee.
Right.
So we signed this, and sure enough, he ran an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than one, but we saw one that listed us and listed our affiliation, Republican State Central Committee, Republican State Central Committee, Republican. Well, that went over like a fart in church. And, of course, Cranston won the election handily.
Yeah.
Handily.
Yeah.
But the quick fallout was all 11 of us received letters suggesting that it would be better if we resign from the State Central Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And the threat that if we didn't resign, we'd be kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
The other 10 resigned, I didn't. Okay. So then I got a letter saying that inasmuch as you had violated the elections code, which I had, well, all 11 of us had violated the election code, which states that people in office of one party shall not support someone from another party. That was in the election code. And we had actually violated that. I didn't know about that particular part of the law, but I guess it made sense. Well, they were going to have a trial of me.
Mm.
Well, by this time, we had a new mayor in Fremont, a Democrat.
Remember his name? That's okay. Don't get
lawyer,
about it.
Lawyer.
Rhodes. Was that Rhodes?
Yeah, Gene Rhodes. Gene Rhodes. Okay. Thank you. So I knew Gene really well. And I went to him and I said, Gene, you feel like taking on a hopeless case? And sure, because, you know, he was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove over to Palo Alto together.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, since you're going to lose. I said, yeah, I know it. But we're going to make them work for it.
Mm-hmm.
So he represented me. And their evidence, of course, was just overwhelming because there was my name right there on this Cranston ad. Gene tried to make a pitch that Rafferty didn't deserve our support because of what happened down south. That didn't go over.
Right.
So we left it. We knew what the outcome was going to be. Okay, now here's the funny part.
Okay.
A few weeks went by. I got two letters delivered by the postman at the same time,
mm-hmm.
same day, and handed me some envelopes. One of them was from the Republican State Central Committee advising me that I had been expelled from the party, they even said from the party, but they can't do that.
Right.
But they did expel me from the Central Committee. The other letter was my invitation to Richard Nixon inaugural. So I had both letters mounted under glass,
mm-hmm.
and it hung in our house for a long time.
Yes, I recall.
And it said, the right hand knoweth not what the far right hand doeth. And somewhere along the line it got lost.
Yeah.
Too bad, because I really treasured that, but it got lost somewhere. Yeah.
So this made the paper, and somewhere during that time, I'm talking 68, you publicly left. Well, you were asked to leave the committee. You publicly left the Republican Party and registered as a Democrat. And Fremont at that point, I think, was becoming a mostly Democratic city, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
And obviously, copies of the newspaper got, since I was on page one,
right.
got to some other Democrats somewhere, some of whom had known how far I had risen in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me an offer. Would you like to serve on the Democratic State Central Committee?
Okay.
Which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably the only person ever who ever will serve on both parties, State Central Committee, in the same year.
So what did the publisher of your newspaper think of
Democrat.
Okay, all right. So he was okay with all this.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Now, did you also write a column? I mean, in addition to being a political reporter,
column, but it was mostly about politicians in Fremont. Although I would throw in others when. Particularly if I didn't have anything happening in Fremont,
mm-hmm.
I would throw in state politicians, county politicians, not the national, because people weren't interested in
right.
those.
So,
and I got to know, particularly when I became a Democrat, I got to know an awful lot of Democrats, and including March Fong Yu,
right.
Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And we became good friends.
I actually recall that.
Yeah. And there was a Republican up. That was before. He was a Republican up in Marin County. He was a moderate. And he, too, was disgusted with what had happened to the party. He'd been taken over by the Birchers.
Mm-hmm.
So he served out his last term, and then he retired. He didn't. Chose not to run anymore. It did that kind of devastation. It drove the good people out of the Republican Party. And it wound up being a really far right party for a while.
Yeah.
And then they started losing elections. And they've, other than a few, like the guy who became governor because he had pictures of an army of illegal streaming across the border. Davis? No, that wasn't Davis. Whatever. He got elected governor, but he was the exception. It was mostly Democrats.
Well, Reagan got elected governor in In 66.
That's right. I forgot about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that guy. So I have to wonder now if you read about the schisms that are currently taking place now in 2013 in the National Republican Party, and it sounds a little familiar to you.
Yes, it does. And I have a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer going to put a time limit on it, but sometime in the not too far distant future, I predict that the moderates who still control the party at the top will invite the right-wingers to leave.
Mm.
And I think they will. And they will start a whole new party, and it will have the words conservative in America.
Or patriot.
Something like that in it. And it will be a far right-wing party competing with both Republicans and Democrats. But it will ruin the Republican Party probably for a generation. Not exactly crying.
Are you ready to take a break?
Yes.
Okay.